have a bunch of people coming in still. Those who called in, they should have a chance to say your name and location.
Jeff from Los Angeles.
Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Zoe in Sacramento.
Hello, Zoe. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Jean in South Dakota.
Hello, Jean. Welcome to the call.
Zoe, I've been thinking about you lately.
How nice.
What's going on?
I'm very busy.
Are you? That's good.
Yeah. I do writing workshops and other stuff like that. I'm a writer.
Oh, fantastic. Don't tell me that.
Oh. All right, I'll take it back.
We need editors, you know.
Oh, is that right?
But you're a good editor.
Yeah, I'm a pretty good editor, yeah.
Well,
contact me, Lynn, with...
Terry, are you on the line?
No, she's not here yet.
I thought I heard Terry.
Good morning, Joel from Chicago.
Hey, Joel, how you doing?
How's the volume? How's the volume on the music?
Thank you, Don.
And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Good morning. Hi, it's Jim from Sedona.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm very well, and I hope you're well as well.
And I am well as well. Pretty well.
Well as well.
Good morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Well, good morning.
Aloha.
Hiya, Del Rey.
I hear Tammy Playa Del Rey, and I hear Gina, Dolphin Gina. Good morning, Gina.
Oh, good morning. Everyone else.
Good morning,
Aloha.
Gina. Good morning. Aloha.
Thanks for being here, Tammy. Also.
Good morning.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Francis from California.
Hello, Francis. Welcome to the call.
Good morning, hi. Hi, Francis. It's Jackie in San Diego.
Hello, Jackie. Thanks for being here.
Gary,
hi, this is Carolyn from Uganda.
Hello, Carolyn from Uganda. How are you?
I'm all right today.
Great.
Good morning,
Gary. Mr. Brownlee.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Thanks for being here. Doing well. And more people join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Nancy from Orlando.
Hello, Nancy. How are you doing?
Hey, Nancy. Nancy. This is Lucy. I hope you feel better.
Hey,
how's the grandkids?
They're doing great, actually.
Nancy's a new grandmother, guys.
All right.
Twins.
Hi, if Julie and Laura,
I have two grandchildren now, and my grandchildren taught me that my job as a grandmother was to play, and I've done that very well.
That's right. That's right.
Good morning. Welcome to the Good Healing Call. Please say your name and location.
Hi there. Greetings. Jen from Ontario.
I hear Jen from Ontario. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. I didn't mean to cut you off, Michael.
No problem.
I was both. Thank
Hi,
you, guys.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hello. Hello. Greetings.
How's your cat?
Hmm?
We're doing everything in twos today. There must be something about twos.
In twos. Well, it's not Tuesday. That can't be it.
All right. 10:03. Win, what do you think? Oh, it's Terry not here yet.
Where's Terry? What time is it?
10:03. Jim, I thought you were going to do the dishes this morning.
This is Debbie in Seattle.
Hello, Debbie. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
For being here. Morning. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. In the background, you're welcome. You're muted, by the way. All right. Good morning, welcome to the Good Healing Call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, the next person, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Hey, we have two people in Seattle.
All right.
Welcome, there's the two again. Wasn't there a movie called Sleepless in Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the star?
Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. Was it Tom Hanks?
Uh-huh. Teddy, you didn't dial in as a moderator.
Okay, I'll call right back.
All right.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Hey, would you believe we also...
Hey, I have a question. I've been traveling for 2 weeks. I just got back and was all excited about listening to you.
This is Rocco from Orville, California.
Now, wait a second. We got two people. We have Lucy telling her story. And
yeah, I just can't. I can only listen via the phone, not on the internet. And I don't know if I'm the only one. Problem.
Let me just go on the internet and see.
Did I hear somebody from Orland?
I'm in Uganda, and in a few minutes I'll stop on the phone and start listening on the internet, and I've been able to hear it for the whole 2 hours since I've been here. This is my third week.
All right. So welcome those who just joined in here lately. If you want to do so, you have a chance. Please say your name and location.
Yes, Rockland, in Oroville, California.
In Oroville, all right. I'm in Magalia, California. Welcome to the call.
Very good, thank you. Don from
Bexhill.
Hi, everybody.
Don, welcome to the call.
Hello, good morning. This is Sara from California.
Buenos dias. Welcome to the call. Welcome, everybody. This is the Good Healing Call. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Milo Waterville.
Hello. Welcome to the call.
Welcome.
Thanks for
being here. Hello, everybody. Mel from England.
Hey, Mel. You're marvelous, man.
Hey,
Mel. Have you ever had a chance to visit a crop circle?
I've never been to a crop circle.
Yeah, I wonder if Mel had visited one.
No, I've seen a lot of, obviously, the films on... I haven't been to one physically, no.
Uh-huh.
But I'm aware of them, and we do have a lot in England.
Yeah. Yeah, I read the book Secrets in the Fields. Have you read that?
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the crop circles on...
Good morning, Yvonne. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Did you guys know where crop circles supposedly come from?
There's different theories.
Well, according to my theory, and according to an answer to a question that we asked, the Ra group makes the crop circles, huh?
Really?
Yeah, that's, I agree with that, Wynn. That's fine.
Are you using technology, or...
We had a whole Monday session somewhere in our archives.
I'll have to go read that.
Where they explained...
I'm muting the lines here for a moment, Wynn.
Okay.
Shall we start the recording? It's 10:08.
Should I answer this question? Crop circle? Okay, we can answer on the recording, okay?
Ready?
Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
Good morning, everybody. It is Sunday, March 3rd, and this is our Sunday conference call. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. And get relaxed. Get ready for 2 hours. And What am I going to say? A lot of magic. I don't like to use the word magic. There's a lot of energies on this call that I get so many emails from people about how it shifts them, how they start out in one mood, and by the time the call ends, their depression has gone away. Or sometimes little miracles happen, and sometimes big miracles happen. And this call is dedicated to making the energetic connection with those forces. Who's making all that noise? Michael Adler. How come I hear you, Michael?
I just muted myself. I guess I didn't.
You didn't.
Thanks for saying my name, Wynn.
Well, good morning, Michael. And I think this started, it's been going for a number of years now, because we were experimenting. You know, there's a lot of information that has come through this work concerning how the other dimensions work. And as this information was coming through and they were answering questions, they were saying that, how do you work with this realm? Well, we can project love light energy into this realm. Or as you study us, we study you. Well, when we were first getting those kinds of answers, I didn't quite know how to work that. Okay, how do you get love light energy from sources in other dimensions? How do you do that? And how do you move from this mental understanding of how things work to having a direct experience of communion with these sources? And was that possible? And I didn't know the answer, but one day I did this little visualization on a call, and I asked them to come into the space, and something shifted, which I could feel. I could feel my energy shift, but I didn't know if anyone else was feeling it. In fact, I said, maybe I'm the biggest idiot in the world. Maybe I'm doing this and no one else is having the experience. But I started getting emails from people that they were having the experience. Now, I tend to be somewhat empirical. I try to think, well, maybe it's suggestion, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. And I kept running all the possibilities of what it might be. And the truth of the matter is, I could only come to one conclusion, that it really was them. And as you're on this call, you can monitor yourself. And if you start to go through an experience on the call, you're going to have to kick the tires and say, did that really happen? What's going on? And, you know, I would get emails like, I never had an experience like that before. Or, I understand now what people talk about when they talk about the light. And it's a very non-inflictive, pleasant experience. It's like suddenly your whole body is transformed. Suddenly energies shift inside you. And you have to monitor that experience and decide yourself what it is. And I've had to come up with my own little theories of how it all works and see if the theories stick. So my theory is, and of course, this is something which is spoken of in many books and articles now about the universe being a hologram. That's not my idea. That's many people's idea. And another idea is that there is a veil surrounding our planet, and that humans, by and large, are contained within that veil. And no matter what you do, you're in the box of the veil. It's hard to get out of it. So now there's the theory that when that energy comes in, if it is truly coming in through the center of the universe, if it's coming in from these energies that are beyond the veil, when we connect, suddenly we are moving ourselves beyond the veil. And that's the theory, okay? These are things you can't prove, but you have to observe and watch and see if that theory fits the explanation. And in most cases, people will have that experience, and then they will come back and feel like their old self and feel contained and feel trapped, and then they'll have that experience again. And over time, and this is what I've observed, people that keep coming to these calls, they learn to hold the experience of that expanded space, and they start having it in their life in between the calls more and more. And eventually, they can hold the space. And I would say that when you start to hold the space, you are suddenly in this realm, but not of it. You have the experiential knowledge that you are not just your body, not just as an idea, but as an experience. And then, as you learn to hold the space, it would be as if you, who you are, has expanded itself beyond the veil and is reaching points in the universe above, at a higher hologram, shall we say. You're existing at a higher hologram. You're touching into it. And when you start to experience yourself at a higher hologram than just the compressed Earth hologram, you start to experience that you have more love in this realm, and you have more power. Because when you create an intention or a projection, you now have all this extra energy that is helping to manifest that intention. And you start having synchronicities. You start having chance meetings. You put out the idea of something, and suddenly something happens. And there's some manifestation of that idea. And you might say you're starting to operate in what some people call God consciousness. although I don't know if God is the right word here, but if it works, you can use it. You're still in your conscious mind, not cognizant of all of this. It's not like you've expanded and you can see something that you didn't see before, although some people might. But you have extra sparks firing. It would be like your car was firing on two spark plugs, and suddenly it's firing on eight spark plugs. And you don't even know. You can't look in the engine. You can't see the spark plugs. But you step on the gas, and suddenly, instead of just a slow forward motion, it goes whack, and you're making wheelies. And that is what we're learning. We're learning how to do that. And when we start being able to operate on eight cylinders, we start to realize the connection between our intentions and our results, and that the timeline from intentions to results starts to shorten, and things you want come in and flow in kind of a magical way. And of course, everybody wants this. And sometimes, for some people, there's a healing or something in their body shifts because you bring energy in from this higher hologram into this place, into your body, where the energy is stuck and the energy starts to flow and the body starts to heal itself. So this is not necessarily a fast process. This is not where you come into these calls, as many of you who have been hanging out for a while, as you come into these calls and everything shifts at the end of the call. You think because we're talking to these high sources that they're going to do it for you, and that just, please do this for me. And occasionally that might happen, but usually it's a build, because if something is done for you, you ask and it's done, you will tend to give up your power to that thing that does it for you. You'll tend to kiss their ass and say, please do this, please do that. And you have not yet learned that it's a co-creative relationship. So if they were doing things on demand like that, it would be a disservice to you. It would be a disservice because it would be teaching you to give up your power to them. And of course, many people, I'm fairly sure that it's this kind of thing that happened historically that was the cause of many religions starting. And that one of the things about religions is that there's a tendency to give up your power to God. And I don't think that's what the higher forces want, to give up your power. It's like if somebody has loads of money and you happen to be around them, there's a tendency to give up your power. They'd be very nice to that person, to defer to them, hoping that if you're nice to them and you defer to them, suddenly they'll like you and they'll give you money. Similar idea. You know, if I like God and I defer to God, then God will like me and make everything happen in my life. Now, it might work for some people, and that model might work. But I believe the more real, accurate model is that you can't give up your power to something that you are. You just have separated yourself from the realization that you are part of that. You think it's different from you. So you give up your power to something that's big, that is powerful, that seems to be able to cause miracles to occur, and it might work, and you might get miracles, but the real source of power is your own empowerment, that you're part of that. You have access to that, but you are designing your own life. Now, you have to design your life in accordance with what's possible. In other words, if you are saying to yourself, all right, I want to be a famous movie star, and God help me, you would have had to have make sure you have the talents to do that. You have to ask for things that you have the talents for. Or you have to create the talents. You have to go to acting school. And then you have to go where that's possible, like Hollywood. And so that you're around people that can create the synchronicities that will bring into your life what you're asking for. And if you do all that and you operate with an expanded hologram, then you will have the synchronicities that bring those potentials in. And it doesn't have to be being a movie star. It could mean getting a job. What can you do? What's your skill? What do you have to contribute to someone else? Can you be resourceful? There are so many ways to make money now, in spite of the fact that there's an, you know, the economy is somewhat contracted. And if you're resourceful, you can find a way. You can go into your local thrift shop. I go into the thrift shops here in Sedona, and things are so cheap that usually sometimes 10% of the cost that they would cost if you were actually buying them new. And then you put things on eBay. I don't do this, but somebody could. And learn what sells. It's a whole something to learn. Study eBay and learn the price of things. Go into the thrift shops and buy things. And work it and master it. Know what things people want, what things sell quickly. Look for them. Suddenly, you have an extra income every month selling things on eBay. It's like, look for, there's maybe less jobs out there, but the internet makes more potentials. Do you know that if you're an editor, we were talking to Zoe earlier, and she happens to be a writer and an editor, and you're looking for a job. Did you know there's websites where an editor, somebody who's an editor, can register themselves? And other people who are looking for editors can find you, and they will give you a job right through the internet. Now, you might not work for as much money as you would like to have, but you can start building a reputation. And as your reputation builds, people will want to give you more money. Or you'll get so busy that you can charge more and risk leaving
some jobs behind. I remember years ago, I created a little business for myself in Hollywood. When I was writing music, when I was in high school, when I was a kid, I was kind of an electronics prodigy. I used to be a ham radio operator. I would build transmitters from scratch, and probably goes back to Atlantean lifetimes. And I had a commercial radio license. And I mean, I didn't realize how advanced I was at the time, but when I looked back at it, I was like 13 years old, and I had this first-class commercial radio license. And most people would have to graduate high school and then go to technical school for 2 years before they got that license. So I was a whiz at electronics kind of stuff. And I was in Los Angeles, and I answered an ad in, it's called The Recycler, for someone that needed someone to fix intercoms. And I walked into this guy's office who owned a bunch of apartment buildings. And I didn't really want to work for someone, so I said, I'll operate as an independent contractor and I'll bill you. And so he said, well, how much are you going to charge? And so I was still thinking very much in a mentality of jobs. And what's good pay for a job? And so I told him $7 an hour. And he said, fine. Of course, I had no credibility. I had no record. I couldn't prove that I could fix intercoms. I thought I could, but I didn't ever do it. So there was no recommendation. So I started fixing intercoms for this guy's buildings, and I would bill him once a month or something for all the work I had done. And for me, it was seventh heaven because I didn't have a job. I didn't work for someone. I kind of kept my own hours, and I was getting paid for it. Well, about a year later, I had to go get this special screwdriver to open one of these intercoms up, and I went to another intercom repair company who happened to sell those screwdrivers. And I bought the screwdriver from them, and the guy was talking to me, and he says, well, you know, maybe I can use you sometimes to help do some repairs. And so he said, how much do you charge? Well, my mind calculated quickly, and I said, $15 an hour. Keeping in mind that I knew on some level that I had learned how to do something, that if it was a professional company coming out, they would charge $30 an hour. And so the guy started sending me on jobs at $15 an hour. And he liked very much my work. I was really fast. I was honest. And now I had two people that I was doing work for. One I was charging $7 and the other $15. So now I went back to the guy who I was charging $7 for, and I knew that if he didn't want to use me, I could make enough money from the other guy to survive. So I went back and I told him, listen, I'm raising my prices. And he looked at me and said, how much are you going to charge? I said, $20 an hour. He looked at me cross-eyed because this was brash. Here's a guy that had been working for $7 an hour and is now telling him he's going to charge $20 an hour. And I thought he was going to say, thanks, I'm going to go look for someone else. But you know what? He agreed to pay me $20 an hour. And so now I've got one company, I'm doing $15 an hour, and another company, $20 an hour. And I kept doing this for a couple of years. And before you know it, I was charging $30 an hour. And I didn't have to work very hard to make a living at that point. Well, I have watched people, and even myself probably at different times, but I've watched other people think that I can't work for $7 an hour. I'm going to other people make $30 an hour, $40 an hour. And before they have any business going, they establish their price really high, and they don't get any business. And I believe it's a mistake when somebody does that, because I proved to myself, once you have business, you can raise your prices. But when you have no business, no matter how good you are, nobody knows it. You have no credibility. Plus, you have no money. And usually when you have no money, there's a tendency to look a little down and out. And people pick that up. So if you're wanting to make money, don't worry about how much you charge somebody at the beginning. You can always change your price. But once you start doing it, you start building energy. You got your foot in the door. You're developing credibility. You can get new customers. Like if you're a massage therapist, charge doesn't matter what you charge to start with. I mean, what do massage therapists make? If you go to get a massage, you might have to pay $50 an hour, $40 an hour, and in really high-class places, $70 or $80 an hour. Well, you're there, and you have no money, and you want to be a massage therapist. It doesn't matter how low you go. Charge $15 an hour. Charge $20 an hour. And start building business. And as you build your business and you have enough business to feel secure that you can pay your bills and money's coming in, then say, okay, all new customers, the price is going up to this. But keep your old customers the same. You don't want to ruin your old customer business. That's your foundation. So you don't have to raise your prices for everybody. Just raise them for your new customers. And then build a bunch of new customers. And then go back to your old customers and say, I'm raising my price a little bit. In other words, your new customers are now paying you $30 an hour. And your old customers are paying you $15 an hour. You just say, I'm getting too busy. And in fact, what you do is don't even raise your price right away. Tell them, in 30 days, my price is going up $5 to all my old customers, just letting you know. And this is the way you work things in the world. This is the way that you build your value in the world. And this is the wisdom, and you apply this wisdom with grace. And where does the grace come in? The grace comes in if you're doing massage, you are doing the best massage possible. You are making people fly off the table with joy and relaxation when you massage them. So they want to come back. They need you. They can't find that anywhere else. And if it's only $15 an hour, they'll start referring you. Just call it an opening special. Now, the principle I'm saying works across the board, no matter what you're doing. And whether you're a massage therapist or an accountant or even something high-priced. Now, if you're doing something that there's no competition for, which some of you are doing that. I know that. Some of you are very innovative and creative, and you've come up with things. There's no competition. Well, in that case, you can decide your own price. There's nothing to compare. No one can. If people want your service, either they use you or want what you have, they use you, or they don't. But there's an amazing quality about money that you are projecting. You are projecting in your thoughts and your consciousness what you deserve, and in combination with what you need and what the market will bear. And so much of it has to do with your projection and your self-esteem and your belief in yourself. And if you're feeling like you don't have self-esteem and you're feeling unworthy, which is, don't judge yourself for that. That's pretty common. And all of us, I certainly have gone through many periods like that. And I know Terry has. And it's like, how do you change your self-esteem? How do you do that? How do you change your projection so that you project something out from yourself that makes you look worthy to other people, where other people can feel that you value yourself? How do you do that? You can't mock it up. It has to be real. So you have to start doing small things that bring results. Small things consistently, so that you are starting to change your energy patterns. Like every time I get an email from somebody, keep in mind, we started doing this, and I said, who's going to be interested in this work? Who's going to believe what we're doing, what we think we're doing? And it's one of the reasons we didn't charge any money for things, because how can you sell something that you can't even put into words what it is and have people believe you? But every time we got an email from somebody that this changed my life, or this did this, or my depression lifted, and I would send those emails. I would copy them, and I'd send them to Terry and to Daphne. And over time, we got more confident. We didn't start out confident. There was no way to start out confident. How do you know how people are going to respond? Maybe everyone will start putting us up on the web and say we're a bunch of frauds or we're this. How do you know that's not going to happen? And so we built it slowly and carefully, and it was the response of you that built the confidence and increased the sense of self-worth, and that, hey, we're doing something really valuable. People really appreciate us. And you may not do what we're doing, but there's something that you can do. There is most definitely something you can do that you can work with. And maybe you'll have to start cheap. And it's okay to start cheap. Because if no one's knocking on your door, you got to get people knocking at your door. And you have to prove to yourself that you are constantly giving people value. And as you build that, your self-worth will increase. Your ability to ask for more money will increase. You'll have built a clientele at a lower price, and you can then go to a higher price and leave the old clientele where it's at, just new clientele. You raise the price, and before you know it, you're successful. Not only are you successful, your self-worth is really high. And this is a worldly way of understanding how to do something. This is not just spiritual. This is the way, from my own experience of observing myself, that it works. And it works every time. And don't think that you have to charge a lot of money when you start something. That's a really big mistake, because me say, it's a big, it's not a mistake if you can make it work. If you can charge a certain amount of money and people keep knocking at your door, then it's not a mistake. But in most cases, it won't happen. You'll charge a bunch of money, and no one will knock, and you'll wonder, please God, help my business. You know, if everyone, here's a little experience that I'm sure you can relate to in terms of money. I think restaurants, and I go to a lot of restaurants, restaurants are a really good example of the arbitrariness of perception of value. Because depending upon the ambience of the restaurant, depending on the way it looks, the way it's decorated, the attitude of the waiters, when you look at the menu of a restaurant, if its ambience does not hold the energy, you look at a price and say, geez, $8, this is really expensive. And you might eat there, but you may not go back because you made the decision it was expensive. And now you could go to another restaurant where the waiters are very savoir-faire. That's not the right word. Very congenial and very pleasant, very professional. And the restaurant is designed so it looks affluent. And you sit down and you look at the menu and you look at something for $14 and you'll say, geez, that seems really reasonable. And, you know, in one case, $8 seemed expensive. In the other case, $14 seemed reasonable. Notice how you made those decisions, because whatever you do, whenever you ask for money for anything, you are projecting out your whole inner being, its relationship to money and value. And in one case, the projection makes the money sound cheap. In the other case, it makes $8 sound expensive and $14 sound cheap. So notice how that works, because that's what you're creating whenever you ask for money on something. You're creating the perception of whether it sounds cheap or it sounds expensive. And whether you're looking for a job or doing a business, when you're looking for a job, somebody says, well, how much do you charge per hour? Or how much do you want to make per hour? And at that moment, the way you answer the question, or the way you, even if you're just writing it down, every thought, every feeling in you is going to make your answer seem like you're a bargain or you're expensive. And it's just in the way you say it, okay? And when you realize that you can't ask for money without projecting low self-worth, then accept that. Don't fight it. Don't curse yourself. Realize that that's in my field, and work with it. Accept it. At that moment, you're in that space. Maybe you have to ask cheaper. And then do such a good job that either you can get another job or ask for more money. You know, I've said that when you're working and when you're dealing with money, it's oftentimes not easy to tap into grace, because money is the means of exchange in this realm. And exchange is not grace. Exchange is, I do this for you, and you do this for me. Exchange is obligation. You come in 9 o'clock, you leave at 5 o'clock, and you make this much money. And we make those agreements all the time. You rent an apartment, it's $700 a month, and you have an obligation to your landlord to pay him that much money, and he has an obligation to you to give you your abode. So you're in a state of exchange. And to go into grace, to instigate the energy of grace, you have to go above the level of exchange. You can't avoid it. There's no way to be in this realm and avoid exchange and obligation. You have to, on some level, be involved in that. Well, maybe one exception. Let's suppose you're going to be in a religious convent, and they're going to take care of you and let you do God's work, and you don't have to worry about shelter or food because it's going to be provided for you, and you've agreed to do God's work, and maybe in that case, it transcends the exchange. But in almost every other case, you can't go through this realm without some kind of exchange. So how do you bring grace into that? Grace, once you have a relationship of exchange, grace comes into it when you look for the opportunities to do little things extra. When you give outside of the level of exchange, that starts building a new energy with whoever you have the obligatory relationship with. So, for example, let's suppose you rent an apartment in an apartment building, and one day the landlord comes in and he plants new flowers, and you might send him a little note and say, thanks for planting those flowers. The building looks so much better. Now, that little note you send is magic. That little note is what is starting to move your relationship with your landlord out of obligation into grace. And things start to happen. What's another good example of something like that? You're married. And, you know, your marriage can be a relationship of obligation where people agree to do things. I'll bring home the money, you bring up the kids, we'll have sex, and, you know, I'll do this and you do that. And, of course, if your relationship gets to that place, it gets really, really boring, and you can feel trapped. This is your relationship. So what do you do? Well, that's why they have flowers. unexpectedly bringing home a bouquet of flowers, as every guy knows, changes a relationship that has gotten into the humdrums into another octave. And if you're the woman, and of course, I'm probably talking about old-time relationships now where men work and women are home, and that's probably, in many cases, not even the form of many relationships today. But regardless, it's in the things you do that are extra, that you didn't have to do, that you did from your heart, that start shifting the energies. So when you want to shift energies, when you want things to shift, you need to start changing your own energy levels. And one of the easiest ways to do that is random acts of kindness, where you do things that you didn't have to do, that of your free will, that contribute to someone else. And you keep up a steady diet of doing these things. And I will say that if you do that, things will change. Things will shift. And you'll be creating the pathways for miraculous phenomena to flow into your life. And you add that to having the connections that we're helping create on these calls and on our work, and your life will change. And no matter where you are, even if things are working for you now, you can apply these principles and it'll get better. And I mean, that goes for me as well as you. It's something that you can pay constant attention to. You know, I told this story last week, I think, on one of the calls. Maybe you heard it, but I'm going to tell it again because it is an amazing demonstration of what I'm talking about. And it was my friend Jillian, whose house was, her mortgage had gone up. She had some kind of balloon payments, and her mortgage was higher than she was running out of money. She had a fixed amount of money in the bank, and she was going to lose her house. And she had been going to experts for about 4 years saying, help me refinance my mortgage. And finally, she went to some state agency, some HUD agency, and she kept going to the woman and said, the woman kept telling her that she, you know, looked at every possibility. There was no way that a bank was going to refinance her house at a lower monthly payment. And apparently this woman was extremely nice. And after spending a few months visiting her, Jillian sent her a card and said, just thank you for all your help. And Jillian is artistic, so she probably put some little stars and little drawings on the card. And the woman put the card on her desk, and her boss came in, picked up the card, and said, what's this? And the woman said, oh, is this woman that I was trying to help her get refinancing? And she was just stuck, and she's going to lose her house. So her boss said, let me see what I can do. And boom, the next day, it was a done deal. They refinanced her house. And that is an example of this principle. And the key to it is Jillian, when she sent that card, was not trying to create grace. She was not trying to, I mean, she had absolutely no expectation. And it was above and beyond the call of duty, because basically the woman was doing her job. And she wasn't succeeding, but the woman was very nice. So she was doing her job with a little positive edge to it. And just by acknowledging this, just by sending that card, something shifted. Imagine if you went on an interview and you left and you went home and you sent the guy a little note that says, I really like your company. I hope you decide to work with me. And just sign it. And imagine the power that that little note could have in getting the job. But it has to be from your heart. You can't do it manipulatively or it won't fly. And you may not be able to do it every interview, but you pick those interviews where you felt the energy of this would really be a nice company to work for. And that little card can get you the job. It's going to make you stand head and shoulders above everyone else that was looking for that job. So these are ways to put all of this stuff into action and not just sit there and say, give me a job, send me money, win the lottery, which it's okay to say that, okay? But it's these little extras that you do that are going to lubricate the engine so that what you're looking for comes in and people take note of you. So on that note, we are going to now create a group energy and align our holograms with those sources and those places in the universe that are the higher aspects of yourself. And we start out with the principle that the entire universe is one being. Just as your body is made up of billions and billions of cells, the universe is made up of billions and billions of souls and rocks and planets. And everything in the universe is alive. And it's all part of the one infinite creator, the one whole of the universe. And we tend to lose touch with that. We tend to separate ourselves from that experience. And that's part of being in the veil on this planet. It's part of being contracted. And so right now, we are going to uncontract. And we're going to say hello to the Earth. You know, every moment of every day, we are on the Earth. We are in the Earth's energy. The Earth surrounds us with her energy, in as much as we can allow ourselves to be surrounded. The Earth is aware. It knows we're here. And right now, we're going to let that energy of the Earth come through our floor and through our legs and see if you notice a tingling. It's good to put your feet flat on the ground for this, or flat on your bed if you're laying in bed. And just see the Earth radiating through the soles of your feet, through your legs, through your calves, through your solar plexus, through your chest, your neck, and your head. And we can talk to the Earth. We can tell her we love her. We can thank her for being our host for many lifetimes. And the Earth can reach back and surround us and nurture us. That's why she's sometimes called Mother Earth. And she's delighted that someone acknowledges her, besides the Indians, because most people don't tune in to this energy. And now we're going to move our energy above our head. We can go 1 foot above our head. And we're still in our body. We're still connected to the earth. We're just expanding through the top of our head. And up into the entire room. See the energy coming out of your head and making like a fountain of energy, like you see in those pictures, surrounding your entire room, engulfing your room in this energy. So we have the energy coming in through your feet, up your body, up the top of your head, and gushing out like a fountain, surrounding your room in light. Now let's bring the energy back to a point and go through our ceiling and through the roof and through the sky. Now this could be your imagination or it could be real. You have to decide. Is your energy really in the sky? Can you project into the sky from your body? Well, you feel expanded. Does that mean you're in the sky? You'll just have to decide. But right now you can do make pretend that you're in the sky. And then you don't have to decide. You just use your imagination and go through the sky, through the clouds, through the veil, through this energy field that locks us in. Just go right through it. Keep going, 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 and we come to the place where we're not just moving through space, we're moving through time. And once we start moving through time, we come to the place where you first individuated. You were not always here. You were always here as an energy, but you were not an individuated energy. You were part of a big energy that was not separated. There was some point where you individuated, where you became aware that there was you and there was all that is. So as we move to that point of individuation. That was before all your past lifetimes. For some, it might have been before the beginning of the universe. Some of you are very old souls and were there and individuated energies before there was a physical universe. You don't have to remember any of this. Just go to the place of individuation. And if we are all moving to the place of individuation, we're all moving to the same place. And as we touch this place, as we're on the edges of individuation, we can come together as a group in other realms. Now, did you notice when I said that, something shifted? Something got very quiet. We are moving into the experience of oneness. This place that everyone talks about, we are all one. And we have not lost our individuation one bit. We are not leaving here to go there. We are being here and there at the same time. And we now invite our sources. Our sources means those intelligences that talk to us and that have been giving us understandings and guidance for a number of years now, to join with this energy of oneness. And we bring these energies back down, back through the timelines, back through the spaces, and through the veil, through the clouds, through your roof, and into the top of your head, and down through your body. Now, take a quick note how the quality of energy in your body has changed. The difference it feels from when we were starting with the earth going up, and how we felt part of the earth. And now we've tapped into the celestial realms, the high matrix, and we're bringing it back down. This is like heaven meeting earth, and you are in the middle. You are the connection point. Feel those energies. And you can direct this energy. You can direct it anywhere in your body. If there's a place where you're blocked, direct it to that place. Surround it. This energy is not just contained in your body. You can project it towards others, other places, and other people. Later on, soon, we'll be projecting this energy to other places for healing our planet. Right now, if there's anyone that you love, care about, going through a hard time, imagine them surrounded with this energy. They may or may not receive it, but when you imagine it, it does project. And ask for healing. Ask for the highest good, that they can get what they need. And while we're holding this expanded sacred space, I'm going to go through some of the healing requests that came in today. And by the way, if you're putting yourself on this list, it's okay to keep doing it every week. It helps reiterate. Many of you, many of us, are working through ancient patterns that we've established over many lifetimes. And so it's okay to be persistent and consistent about approaching these things and releasing them.
Tammy in Playa del Rey. It's herself, her mom, brother, dad, friends into the light for healing and abundance. Marsha puts Jim and Dan, who make miraculous supplements, into the light for all the problems they're going with in terms of harassment. She puts Jim's health into the light. Patty in Clay, Alabama, continuing sending light to her older daughter, Tracy in Auburn, Washington, asks for help with her addictions and clear any blockages so I can finally do what I'm supposed to do for the world now. Tracy, somebody had this technique of putting a rubber band around your wrist, and every time you have the need for succumbing to an addiction, snap the rubber band on your wrist instead of doing the other, you know, what you're addicted to. And let me know if that works. Faith in East Hampton. Looking for a new place to live that's supportive spiritually and emotionally. Roselle in Dallas, Texas. We put our heart palpitations in the light. Barbara, Twin Falls, Idaho. Healing and harmony for her relationship she's in. All of this is for the highest good of all concerned in honoring free will. Robert, in Tigard, Oregon. Help with income and taking care of medical issues. R in Ohio. Need strength for long-distance relationship with his girlfriend in the Philippines. David in Arizona. Healing of myself and my eyes with macular degeneration. Help in quitting smoking and healing of my back and all other general areas of my body. David, feel that energy moving through you and reaching those areas where you need help. Shri in Chicago is putting Mother Earth in the light, thanking her for tolerating us humans. And himself in the light, and for his job. And Joe in Redondo, sending love, light, and gratitude to Daphne Wynn and Terry, sending light to his financial situation, to therapy practice, and my clients. So as we heal, we help with the healing of humanity and the planet. Tara in Nevada, sending light to her cousin Chris and her dog. John, sending the light to Nancy, freeing her from negative influences. Gina, sending the light to the whales and dolphins and sea life at this time against any sonar activities.
Jyoti. We put in the light her depression, losing job because of sick and tired and depressed and needs help to make money, and help with her son who's suicidal. Tom, for personal healing. And Cindy in Columbia, Alabama, asks for perfect health. Amy, South Orange, California, thanks for all the blessings you have bestowed on me. I am grateful for everything in my life. Please help Bill find meaningful employment and great pay. He is losing faith and needs to have a win instead of all the obstacles in his life. Lee in Ecuador, complete health. Eric in Thailand. Separate Eric from the heat he feels for his mother. Rose in New Orleans. She's, keep the Gulf Coast safe. Bubbling sinkholes in Louisiana. Keep the lower half of Louisiana together, and keep the New Madrid Fault in a placid state. Tammy, Playa del Rey, sends a light to her mother in Palm Desert, to Tom, her brother in Palm Desert, for physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. And right now, take something that you have, maybe you didn't put it on this list, or maybe you did, and I want you to think of those things that you need help with. You need this expanded energy to make transformations. And just hold those thoughts in your head. And we ask the universe, we ask our sources, to work with us on all those things that we would like to see transformed in our life and the people we care about transformed for the highest good of all concerned. And on that note, let's see if we hear Terry. Are you there, Terry? We don't hear her yet. Hello, Terry.
I'm here. I just had to unmute.
That's all right. That's part of our act. All right. So let's go in the light, and we're going to have a message from our sources, and Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way,
through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protective space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we turn it over to our sources as they communicate to us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you, and we express our profound appreciation for each and every one of you. Each one of you is treasured, and we, in connecting with those of you that wish to be connected with, it fulfills something within us, and if you allow yourself, within you, for we bring the manifestations of home. We use the word manifestations. However, manifestations are much lighter in frequency in the higher realms. And we exist in the higher realms at the very same moment and time in that we enter into the earth realm, and we express all of those energies from the higher to your realm. We bring them all in and bring them to you so you are able to expand into essentially an area that you already are and you are coming from. However, your focus has shifted in this lifetime to the earth realm. So we have brought also the frequencies of the Ra group in so that we can have an expanded range of frequencies. You are bringing in the earth frequencies and the astral frequencies are also within you. And the focus of the Ra group is more into those energies, and we are expressing the higher frequencies to complete the circuit, so to say, so that you in your own self can fill in missing gaps in frequencies so that you can operate more fully. You can have availability of more tools for healing and more tools for flow and more tools to eliminate obstacles. Obstacles start within where in you have an opposition to something that has appeared in your field, in your life. You have something that you get frustrated because it doesn't seem like you're able to get through the barrier, through the obstacle. When you can remove the obstacle within your own field, within your own thoughts, then the obstacle in the physical realm will have less resonance to attach to. If you do not resist the obstacle in the physical world and let it go on by, and then flow and move into a new look, a new orientation, then it makes it easier if you eliminate those obstacles within your mind, which could be called problems, because there is a force and then there is a resistance. If you remove that, then you can flow into a greater look around you. You can see what it is that you want to do, how you can reorient your life so that you could build again the life that you wish. The horses, the farm, the job, it is out there. It needs perhaps orientation, reorientation, to move around, flow around the obstacles and put it there again in your mind and let the image flow and surf the resistance. Let the resistance go on by. Do not let it target you. This is an exercise in survivability, an exercise in knowing who you really are, an exercise in becoming stronger and begin to know that you are whole. You are loved. You are worthwhile. You are worthy. We give this moment. You are worthy. And you have this image-creating ability, which when you can set the obstacles aside and see how it is on the outside of the obstacle, there are other opportunities. They don't perhaps for the moment seem like the old opportunity that was there before, but when you can move into the new space, you can develop, you can set up, you can move into something that can be even better, even more fulfilling, taking the energies of home into the earth realm. And we lend our love, light, and support to you that you can reorient and move into greater fulfillment. We are honored and delighted and appreciate so much each and every one of you. And we love you more than you can imagine. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, if you are picking up the frequencies of this call, keep in mind that our calls are posted on the Spirit Channel, and you might try opening up the Sunday call and just listening to the meditation that I did, the guided visualization, and the message through Terry in the morning, just that part of it. And it's about 15 or 20 minutes, and it'll help open your energies up. And as you go through your day, if you hold these energies, it will communicate through your voice, and people will feel it.
and you might try it. You know, also, you'll note on the Spirit Channel, where we have all our archives, thespiritchannel.net, some of them are not completely up to date, but there is alternative archive sites. And the BBS archive site is always up to date. So if you want to get a recent call and it's not posted, keeping in mind that we have volunteers and sometimes they can't keep up or they get busy and it doesn't get posted, BBS is posted. So you can always look for the place on alternative archive sites. And it has BBS Sunday, BBS Monday, BBS Wednesday. And those audios are usually up on BBS within 24 hours or sooner after any particular call. So on that note, let's move into our planetary healing. Oh, let me just say, you probably noted we've been doing a series of Saturday workshops approximately once per month with Carla. And we are going through the raw material. And for certain people, this material triggers cellular resonances and aha experiences, explanations about how the universe works, about who the negative is, who ETs are, and how the Ra group interfaces with us. And we sent emails out on that. It's in your email. And, you know, the suggested price is $20-$25 for the workshop. And you get, as soon as you get it, you get the audio links to the previous workshops. So basically, it's 9 hours of audios of Carla and I going through the raw material and interpreting it, explaining it, and discussing it. Because many people can't understand the raw material the first time they look at it. It's very, very deep. So it's called the Law of One Made Simple series, and not only is it a great deal at $20 to $25, but there's discount codes, so you can get it for as low as $5, and there's no excuse to not allow yourself to have this amazing, how would I say it, resource available. And you know, if you're taking a car drive, put it on a CD or copy it to an MP3 and listen to it while you're driving, and it will help change your frequencies. Okay, so I don't have a website. We've only been announcing that on emails. So if you go back to the previous email where we've talked about it and make a purchase for as low as $5, immediately you will get the audios of the first two sessions. And the third session, which we just did on Saturday, you'll get that emailed to you as soon as I edit it. So just letting you know. And now we are going to use our abilities to be expanded that we're tapping into on this call for planetary healing. We are the ground crew. We are the liaison, the bridge to the higher realms. And through the application of our group energy and the power of our group energy, we are going to our energies around planet Earth. And we can see our group energy. We can just imagine it as a cloud, a moving cloud of energy that we surround the entire planet with. And that it moves through all those pathways close to the surface of the Earth. Just like we expanded the light into our room, we are being very big now and expanding that light to our planet. And of course, there's a lot of conflicting influences on our planet competing for dominion of space, competing for dominion of energy. And we're going to honor the free will of all those competing energies, entities that we could call negative, service to self, and we're going to just flow around them. We're going to find the pathways around them, and we're going to surround them as well, giving them options for recreating their own projections. We send this light to all those people that we call wanderers and starseeds, those people that have incarnated into this realm from higher realms, which many of you could be considered part of that group, and are still reaching for trying to figure out why they're here, because they don't know they did that. And we're going to ask via their high selves that their energies might join the energies of this call. And we're going to send this energy right now to the landmasses surrounding the Pacific Ocean, sometimes called the Ring of Fire, for the diminishing of earthquakes, particularly earthquakes near major cities. We ask that any releases happen gradually and away from population centers. We start out the tip of South America, up the western coast of South America, up the western coast of Central America, Mexico, and the United States, starting in Chula Vista, San Diego. Los Angeles, and all the surrounding cities, Los Angeles. Up through through Malibu and Santa Barbara, Santa Cruz, all the areas in between San Francisco and all the cities surrounding San Francisco. And as we do this, we're penetrating below the surface of the ground, into the earth, into those places of earthquake faults. We go from San Francisco to Sausalito to Mill Valley, up the coast, the western coast of California to Oregon, Washington, Vancouver, British Columbia, up the coast of Canada, and across to the southern coast of Alaska, Sitka, Anchorage, Juneau, any place in Alaska that has potential for earthquakes. And across the Bering Straits, down the western coast of Russia, Siberia, China, Singapore, Hong Kong, Philippines, any place I haven't mentioned in between. Australia, New Zealand, Japan. And we cap the radiation from Fukushima in Japan. We ask for the reduction of radiation, the transmutation of it. And into the Pacific, into Hawaii and the Fuji Islands and other Pacific Islands, and moving right to the middle of the country, the New Madrid Fault, starting in St. Louis, and all the way down to Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, this area where, if there was a major earthquake, could create a separation of the country, where the Great Lakes would flow into the Gulf. And we ask for the mediation that that may not happen, and that all these potential fault lines are not going to manifest, that we heal those tectonic plates under the ground. And we move to the East Coast and the Mid-Atlantic Fault. And the Canary Islands. And we just surround our entire planet in this cloud of energy, of light energy coming from source. And that anywhere that there's a potential for an earthquake, we ask for mediation. We ask the earth and we ask the higher sources. So things are released slowly and away from population centers. We ask for the transmutation of all those harmful things in our environment, such as the elements in chemtrails, which many people are saying are have things in them that are not good for human health. If you don't know what a chemtrail is, look it up on the internet, C-H-E-M-T-R-A-I-L. They're white, looks like jet streams, except they don't go away. And they're happening all over the world, and they've happened for years. And they're dumping things that are reportedly toxic to humans. We ask for any frequencies anywhere, in the air, through HARP, through our televisions, through our cell phones, be counteracted. We ask that no nuclear weapons be allowed to go off on our planet. We send the light to all those souls that have had violent deaths, that are stuck in between realms. We send the light to the Middle East. We send the light to the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. We send this energy to Washington, D.C. Surround all of those government buildings and ask for compassion from decision makers. And we do the same thing in London. And in Peking and in Moscow. And we now bring this light back to ourselves, back to our own centers. And if you've gotten, I've had some emails about this, so I'm going to do a countdown. And you can shrink yourself back to the center of your body. Some people have complained that they get really spaced out and disoriented after these calls. So, if you're in a spaced out state and you feel that way, let's just do a countdown. And from 10 to 1, and as we get to 1, we will be centered in our own body and realize that we are the focal point for the anchoring of these energies in our communities, in our families. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. 2, 1. And on that note, we will end this session. I thank you all for being here, supporting this, and supporting yourself, I hope, in this adventure in expansion into the new paradigm of planet Earth. And of course, thanks to all our volunteers. And let me put out, if someone out there is computer proficient, internet proficient, and technically oriented, and wants to volunteer at helping us keep our website, the Spirit Channel, up to date, please email me, because we need your help. It's been really successful. We've had almost 19,000 hits in 37 different countries on it, and it's making a difference for a lot of people. So probably I could use one or two people that can help keep it updated. And in the meantime, just click through to the BBS site if you're looking for something new that's not there. And we'll see you all, or some of you, tomorrow.